Please turn to Matthew chapter 11. Once again, we want to introduce our lesson by reading verses 28, 29, and 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In these verses, Jesus made a very special offer. He offered to give rest to everyone who needs it. That's a very special kind of rest. Jesus described it as rest unto your souls. As we pointed out this morning, we might refer to that as spiritual refreshment. That's a very special rest. And the Lord will give it to those who labor and are heavy laden. That is, those who are in need of rest. However, the Lord also indicated that he will provide that rest to those who meet his requirements. And he revealed those requirements to us. He said that we must come to him. Enjoying this rest is not something that will just happen without effort. We have to make the move. We have to come to the Lord. He's done his part, and he will continue to do his part. But it's incumbent upon those who labor and are heavy laden to come to him in order to receive rest. We must take his yoke upon us, that is, submit to his will. The yoke is a sign of subjection. And when Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you," he was teaching us to be in submission to his will. He also gave the requirement of learning of or from him. We're to listen to his teachings and we're to follow his example. As we study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're able to read about many people who labored and who were heavy laden, who approached the Lord on his terms, and they received the rest that he provides. One lady especially comes to mind. We read about her in Luke chapter 7. Jesus had gone to the home of a Pharisee for a meal. He was approached by a woman. We don't know her name. All we know is that she was a sinner. And it certainly appears from the conversation that took place that everybody in that area knew she was a sinner. But she came to the Lord in humility. She placed some special ointment on the Lord. That woman received rest. When she came in contact with the Lord, she was a sinner. But when she left, she was forgiven. She was weary and she was heavy laden. But the Lord provided her with the blessing of rest on that very special occasion. But we also read about a number of people who rejected the Lord's offer. They needed rest, but they did not fulfill the requirements to receive it. And it's important for us to spend some time looking at these people because we need to avoid their mistakes. Of course, we need to use some balance in looking at people who received rest as well as those who rejected the Lord's offer. But this evening, for a little while, we want to examine a man who's known in the Bible as a rich young ruler. That's the way he's described. And we want to look at him because he is an example of one who rejected the Lord's offer. Now, we'll point out that he came to the Lord. He wasn't willing to fulfill the requirements. Consequently, he did not receive the rest that the Lord came to provide. The first thing we need to do is read about this young man. So we want to consider what's written in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I think it's interesting that these three gospel accounts all include the Lord's encounter with this young man. I believe that's another way of saying that this is an important event and we need to study it carefully and avoid the mistake that this young man made. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19. We'll begin reading at verse 16. Now, it's important for us to consider all three gospel accounts that tell us about this young man because each one will supply details that are not found in the others. Remember, the sum of thy word is truth. That's Psalm 119 and verse 160 in the American Standard Version. To know the complete picture, all we have to do is look at all that the Bible has to say about this individual. Well, we can do that in just a few moments. Matthew 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit, that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now that's Matthew's account. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we'll begin reading at verse 17. And when he, that is Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we'll begin reading at verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When teaching about the Lord's encounter with this young man, I like to always point out that he had a number of good qualities. For one thing, he was young. I'm already somewhat jealous of him. I know that jealousy is not right in the sight of God, but I must say I commend him because he was a young man interested in spiritual matters. He was wealthy. It's not wrong to be wealthy. The problem is when our possessions control us. That's the problem. He had a position of authority. I don't know exactly what that position was, but he's referred to as a ruler. And in his mind, he had practiced the law of Moses throughout his entire life. Now, exactly what age he was at this point, I don't know because it's not revealed to us. All I know is he was a young man. But from the time he was just a boy, he had kept in his mind what the law of Moses teaches. Now, remember, the law was in effect at that time. The law was in effect until Jesus died on the cross, fulfilling it, and then taking it out of the way when he nailed it to his cross. Now, from what we know about this young man, what would you think of someone who abstained from adultery, who was not guilty of murder, who was not a thief, who did not bear false witness against anyone, and who honored his parents? Would you hire him for a job? I probably would. However, there was something lacking in his life. He knew it, and the Lord knew it. So from what's revealed to us, this young man had a lot going for him. And we need to keep in mind that Jesus had just sent out a number of people to fulfill the limited commission. He had sent the apostles out. He then sent out the 70. I believe our Lord could have used someone else to go and contact people on his behalf. This young man had a lot going for him. Another quality that I believe we need to point out is that this man approached Jesus. Now remember, when Jesus gave the great commission, the great invitation, he said, "Come unto me." Well, this young man did that. And the Bible even teaches that he ran to the Lord. This was a matter of great importance to him. And something else we need to point out, in a positive sense, he kneeled before Jesus and he recognized the Lord as good master. Now, he's a ruler. I don't know exactly what his position was, but he had some type of civil authority. And even though he was a ruler himself, he kneeled before Jesus. That was a sign of humility. I believe he's to be commended for that. And then when he addressed the Lord, he called him good master. That was another sign of respect. So as we examine what's written about this fellow, we can't help but see that he had a number of good qualities. Unfortunately, he rejected the Lord's offer for rest. Now, Mark tells us that Jesus loved this young man. And Jesus went on to identify that which was lacking in his life. Jesus told him what to do to have true rest. It's unfortunate, but the young man left with a heart that was filled with sorrow. He came looking for something. Jesus was there, ready, willing, and able to provide him with rest. But this young man wasn't willing to meet the Lord's requirements for receiving it. I've mentioned this before, but sometimes when I'm studying the scriptures, I try to visualize what happened. When this young man came running to the Lord, I can almost see him just being somewhat excited and maybe just thrilled to death to have the opportunity to be in the Lord's presence. But then when he leaves, I can see him stooped over. Maybe his head is bowed. And maybe he even has a tear in his eye. I don't know that. All I know is the Bible says when he left, he was filled with sorrow. Why? Because he had great possessions. It's unfortunate, but his possessions had control of him. That's the problem. Well, the Lord is the giver of rest, but he gives it to those who meet his requirements. Now remember, Jesus said, not only do you have to come to me, but he said, you've got to take my yoke upon you. That's a sign of submission. And when the Lord told him what he had to do, he would not submit to the Lord's will. Consequently, he wasn't able to receive the rest that the Lord provides. In order to receive this very special rest, it's imperative that we meet the Lord's requirements. Well, the rich young man came to Jesus, but he refused to take the Lord's yoke upon him. I believe that this account is recorded in the Bible no less than 3 times for our benefit. The mistake that this young man made is clearly revealed in the scriptures. It's my prayer that we will avoid the mistake that he made. And when we think about refusing to submit to the Lord's will, that's not limited to financial matters. There are any number of matters that we could talk about involved in submitting to the Lord's will. If we take the approach that this young man took, then we can't receive the rest that the Lord provides. So we need to the very best of our ability avoid the mistake that he made. We want to close with some words of our Lord that we always need to keep in mind. By the way, we were singing those songs earlier about let him have his way with thee. Have thine own way, Lord. Do you suppose that young man would say, those are good songs, put them into practice? I just suspect he would say that now. I'd like to think that maybe at a later time he came to himself like the prodigal son did, had a change of mind, and was able to receive the rest that the Lord provides. I don't know that. It's just simply not revealed in Scripture. But his mistake is recorded for a reason. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we need to avoid the mistake that he made. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. We'll read a few verses starting at verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Those are some sobering words. I believe we need to think about them in connection with our study of the rich young ruler. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18 and read verses 8 and 9. Our Lord dealt with the matter of having something in our lives that would cause us to be lost. Now, he talked about being offended. That is something that would cause us to stumble. Matthew 18, verses 8 and 9. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. In other words, if something's going to cause us to stumble, that would prevent us from receiving the rest that the Lord provides, he says, get rid of it. Even if it's something as special as an eye or a hand. I don't believe the Lord was necessarily talking about physically plucking out an eye or cutting off a hand. He was illustrating a point that if something is important to you, but it's going to keep you from receiving the rest that he provides, he said, get rid of it. Wouldn't it have been special if that young man that we studied about would have simply done what the Lord told him to do? Instead of leaving the Lord filled with sorrow, he would have had a heart that was filled with spiritual refreshment. That's what the rest is that the Lord provides. And think about how many people he could have blessed in return by receiving the Lord's rest. He could have been assisting others to receive rest. Finally, let's look at Matthew chapter 19 and read verse 29. If he had made the sacrifice that the Lord called upon him to make, the Lord would have taken care of him. Now let me try to set the stage for what's written in this particular passage. After the young man walked away from the Lord filled with sorrow, Jesus turned to his disciples and talked about how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say it was impossible. He said it was difficult. Imagine the shock that came to the disciples. They said, well, who then can be saved? It seems that they were thinking along these lines. Well, if a rich man can't make it, then is there any hope for the rest of us? Some of us are just poor fishermen. We're not wealthy individuals. If a rich man can't make it, then how can anyone else make it? It was then that Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. You see, if that young man had just let God really be in his life, if he had submitted to the Lord's will, he would have been in the Lord's kingdom. Unfortunately, he wouldn't pay the price. Well, then Peter spoke up and said, Lord, we have forsaken everything to follow you. What will we have therefore? Now, the apostles had made some great sacrifices to follow the Lord. Peter and Andrew left their nets when the Lord called them. James and John not only left their nets, they also left their father in order to follow the Lord. Matthew was a publican, a tax collector. He left his receipt of custom to follow Jesus. These men made some sacrifices. I don't know about the rest of the apostles because the information's not given to us about them. But I do know that five men that were the Lord's apostles made great sacrifices. Now Peter's thinking, well, this young man wouldn't make the sacrifice, but we did make sacrifices. What are we going to have therefore? Well, I think Peter was still growing in his knowledge of the Lord's kingdom. And he had a lot to learn. Jesus indicated to them in verse 28 that they would receive great positions of authority. But then he promised a special blessing to all who will make sacrifices on his behalf. This is in verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Now let's remember that statement in connection with what happened to the rich young ruler. If he had sold what he had and had given the proceeds to the poor, would the Lord have let him starve to death? He would have been blessed abundantly. Well, this is something we need to keep in mind. The Lord requires us to come to him on his terms. He requires us to take his yoke upon us. Then he requires us to learn from him. If we'll fulfill those requirements, we are assured that he will give us rest. And if sacrifices are involved, the Lord will bless us in return. Well, the Lord's offer of peace is a very special blessing. A lot of people today need that rest. May not know it. There's a great need for it. We need to show through our lives that we're enjoying the rest that the Lord provides. I believe that will be attractive to other people. I'm amazed at the amount of violence in our country. It's got to the point where people go to sporting events and break out into fights. Well, I'll enjoy sporting events. But when people go to that extreme, there's just something wrong. There's a great need for the rest that the Lord provides. Let's be sure that we show through our examples that we're enjoying that rest and it's available. And you just never know how that might influence someone for good.